turn to God's Word, into Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 24 down to 30, and we're going to go up the page, that's on the page of my Bible, and we're going to read from verse 36 to 40. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But when he was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the weeds and went away. When the weeds sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "Our enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters first to come and collect the weeds, turn off the bundles, and to be burnt. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn." Let me go over to verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. The disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of these weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the seed, good seed, is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and a good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they weed out of the kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the blazing furnace. There will be gnashing, so there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever else hears, let him hear." May God bless to us his reading. Let us pray for his word. Father, as we come before you this morning, we pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you will speak these words into our hearts, into our minds, that we might hear your voice. Lord, that we may come, like disciples, ask the Lord to interpret, to understand what this passage is all about. In Jesus' name. There was a time, and it was obviously people used to say that Jesus spoke stories so that people would understand them. And he just took all the things of life, and there, as he gave that story, the people understand that all that he's saying. But you know, when you look at the parable that Jesus spoke, people never understood, did they? Not even the disciples. They came to Jesus and said, "Lord, explain this to us. What does it mean?" So here was a picture which the people would see every day in life. Well, like now we in Suffolk, so that in London, you know, we go around and we see the fields and we see the harvesters and we see them flying up and we see things already planted, ready for our winter when we pass us and then, "Well, what's in that field?" You know, farmers are busy always preparing. And it was just the same for the Jewish people. They knew what it meant for the harvest, the sowers to go out and sow the seed. But the people never got the message. In the Old Testament, it said when Jesus comes, that he was speaking parables. and you reveal hidden things that people don't understand. And some of the way that Jesus told this parable was just simple for that reason, that people didn't understand. I think in my own experience of preaching, I'm sure Peter said the same, you tell a wonderful story to try and illustrate a point. And a few weeks later, or even perhaps a few months later, people may remember the story, but they won't remember what it's for. See, a good story, we like a good story, don't we? Remember the story. But do we always see the meaning behind it, the understanding behind it? Sometimes when you read a book, a story book, a novel, whatever, and you can read it, skim read it, and get some of the story. But if you're really going to understand the story, you have to take in the word and understand what they're saying and what it means. And it's the same. Jesus came and he told this story of the wheat and the weeds. And so he comes and he explains it to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven. Matthew always says the kingdom of heaven, Luke always says the kingdom of God. The reason for that is that Matthew is writing for the Jewish community, Luke is writing for the Gentile community. And that's the difference, why they use the different words. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So often we think of that kingdom as something that we're going to go to one day, We're going to be with the Lord, we'll be in his kingdom. But those in Christ Jesus, those who received him into their hearts and lives, you are in the kingdom. You are the kingdom here and now. And this is what we need to put our minds to as God's people. We are the kingdom of God now. Get that? It makes a difference, because it's not something we're going to go to, it's something we long to here and now. Yes, when Christ comes again, everything will be fulfilled and the kingdom of God will be absolutely perfect in every perfection. But here and now, we live in the kingdom, we are the kingdom of God, we are the people of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus is trying to get over to his disciples. The kingdom of God is all those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour. So here in this story, the farmer who goes out to sow, the farmer is Jesus himself. And he's out there to sow, and he uses you and he uses me to sow his seeds. Might be a word here, a word there. Something demonstrates his love, a gesture, a smile. Whatever we do, are we sowing the seeds of the kingdom of God? Because as the seed spreads, it grows. Now here's the problem. When we think of the weeds that the devil comes and sows, the problem is this, and what Jesus was speaking about was that those weeds, and scholars say that the weeds that he was talking about, when they start to grow, they look no different to the weeds, the seeds of the wheat that's growing. They look the same. You see, weeds can look pretty. Go into a field and see a field full of buttercups or daisies. Now for the farmer, they're going to be weeds. So when he plants his seed, he's got to get rid of those weeds. The weeds that Jesus was speaking about were weeds that came and they grew alongside the wheat but the weeds put their roots down and they tangled with the good seed, the wheat. So it tried to strangle them, to stop them getting the food, the nourishment they needed. You see, and isn't that precisely what the devil does? He plants seeds that seek to destroy, start to cause harm. And so, as God's people, and we see the world around us, and sometimes even in church, and we can't sometimes tell where the evil one comes from. Of course, sometimes it's evident, but the Lord, the evil one, is crafty. You know what? And you go into a field and see some field of buttercups and say, and they look beautiful, don't they? But to the farmer, they're weeds. And so we just have discernment ourselves to know what is and what isn't of God. But you know, so often we want God to come and get rid of those weeds. Pull them up. But Jesus said there, this passage, it's waiting to the harvest. And so this is all about when Christ will come again in all his glory. He will come at the right time. And he said he will send out his angels. And first of all, he will gather in the weeds, the evil people, the evil deeds, the sin of this world, and they will all be destroyed. And that's the future. But here and now, we have to live in that conflict. And sometimes with God's people, this is what we find so hard in life. The conflict around us. And how many times have you heard, and I've heard people say, that if God is God and he's real, then why doesn't he stop this? Why does he allow that? Why does he allow this to happen? And they want God to come and stop everything that's not good. But the point about it is this. God allows these things to happen, so that the real people of God will mature and develop and grow. And so how does the people of God, how do we seek to grow and develop when there's weeds around us? And it's all to do with our own life, isn't it? And how we live out that life. If we are in Christ, seek to go deep into him, through prayer, through his word, through our life we live, then we'll grow stronger. And the weeds around us, the evil around us, will not be able to penetrate and drag us down. And so this is a mission to which we're called to stand firm and hold fast to what God wants us to be, the people of God. And so we see the evil around us. But we have this hope. We have this hope that Christ is going to come again. And all the evil around us will be taken up and destroyed. The end time is coming. And Jesus speaks about the time when his angels will come. And first of all, they'll gather together all that is not belonging to him. Jesus told another story, didn't he, about when the time the end comes, and one will be taken, and one will be left. And there he was trying to explain to people that when the time comes, the end, only those who belong to God will be part of his kingdom. Only those who belong to him and truly are belonging to him. who'll be able to live in eternity with him. Because then everything will be pure and right and holy. And so in this passage, when Jesus comes, he seeks to tell his disciples are things that ordinary people cannot understand. But we have got people there to grasp, to take hold of, to seek and try and understand what God is saying to the world in which we live. That there is God coming and there is a reward for those who belong to him. And then in verse 43 it says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever else hears, let him hear, let them hear. Whoever else hears, let them hear. The time is coming when those who belong to Christ, the ones who rush aright and just before God through Christ, will shine like stars. Now we can look upon this world and we can see the community of God where it does shine, and it shines in the darkest places. So this morning as we're praying for the persecuted church, and we can see many places where God's people are persecuted. What's happening in these places? In most of these places, the church shines. It reflects the glory of God more brightly than anywhere else. Why? Because the darkness around them is so evident and so real. And so the light of God shines in the righteous. But we're not just called to wait that time when Christ will come again to be righteous. No, we're called now to live in Christ, to be righteous now. And it's only as we live out our life in Christ now, seeking to follow him and obey him and walk with him, that we can shine in this world. We can shine in this country. We can shine in this community as Christ wants us to be. And so it's not for us to come and judge the world. It's not for us to come and judge people. God will do that. Christ will do that. Our job is to come and shine and be bright for him. So let God's people come and really know that that day is coming. Christ is coming again. And it's 2,000 years nearer now than to what it was when Jesus was here and walked this earth. We don't know the time when Christ will come. But he will come, and all the evil around us will be destroyed. It will be finished, and we will seek the God who loves us, the Christ who lives with us, and everything will be perfect in him. The end is coming. We don't know when, but we are called. Be like that wheat, whose roots are deep into the soil of Christ, living in the community of him and ripening it as the ear of the wheat will ripen, be ready for harvest. Ask ourselves, are we ready for the harvest? Are we looking forward to that harvest day when Christ will come again and bring his people to be with him forever and ever and in his glory? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, that through your word you challenge us. Give us the strength, Lord, determination to live in this fallen world, to know the evil one, Lord, is the one who causes destruction. He is the one who causes the wars. and suffering. He is the one who seeks to destroy. But Lord, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, our lives will be firmly rooted in you, that we may be strong in Christ our Lord, persevering unto the end, and that our light will shine with the light of Christ, and the seed of the gospel will be sown in everything we do and everything we say and all that we are. In his precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.